Lovely. Michael.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, while Priya was talking, I was just kind of jotting down some priorities, I think, in terms of teaching school history and approaches that need to be nurtured and encouraged, I think. And the first one relates to just broad curriculum planning. And it's been interesting, really, particularly over the last couple of years. I think we've seen some exemplary practice in this that people are sharing through the HA and Schools History Project. Teachers really thinking more deeply than ever, I think, about the criteria they're using for content selection. And it's interesting for me, when we first wrote, when Jamie Byram and Chris Colpin and I first wrote Impact of Empire, Jamie and I wrote a teaching history article about wrestling with curriculum content and pinning down the content. And we came up with a list of, I think, 15 criteria that teachers could use to inform their curricular choices. And it's interesting seeing that people are going back to that and that list of criteria in terms of their thinking about what underpins their curriculum choices. But I'm just seeing in London schools that I have a connection with a much more culturally responsive curriculum in some of those schools now. And it's not only based, I think, on the teaching of the devoting more time to the teaching of British Empire in itself, but it's also in a wider context of teaching more world empires and civilizations, you know, and also about teaching more directly about Black British identity and the impact of empire on Britain. We've seen that, I think, directly in, say, the GCSE development studies on migration to this country, but we've also seen it in those migration studies at Key Stage 3 too. And all this is really, really healthy, I think. So that ongoing thinking about the big questions around curriculum planning and the criteria, I think, is really encouraging. And linked to that, as Priya said, is teachers thinking about the nature of their students and communities. No, really fundamentally important that the way in which, through the choices we can make, we can really reinforce a student sense of identity. I mean, a couple of my trainee teachers this year were really thinking about this in terms of their assignments, had done some research into the nature of their communities and their students' attitudes, and in the light of this, decided, you know, because they had a sizable number of students whose heritage was in West Africa, to teach about West Africa or to teach about the Mughal Empire or the Sikh Empire or earlier Indian history, because they had, you know, a sizable group of students whose heritage was South Asian. So I think thinking about these kind of connections and the way the relationship between the history we teach and students' identities is really, really important. The five things I jotted down. The third one is to keep it complex and to really emphasize different perspectives in the past. And there are many ways, many, many ways we can do this, but, you know, simple first person narratives, you know, those kind of character cards that teachers use to open up different perspectives at the time. Just a really good way to think about that. But in terms of the history and the academic research, I think placing a greater emphasis on the experiences of the colonized and a resistance to empire, both at an individual and a collective level, you know, that whole range of the way in which people resist. I think that's a really a good focus for learning. The fourth thing is not to be afraid to tackle the controversial, not to ignore, because teaching about racism in the past, teaching about terror and violence is too scary. The history classroom, in my view, is the safest place to teach about these things, and history teachers are the most skilled people to do that. So I'd encourage tackling the controversial. And finally, the issue you raised earlier, Jason, about being aware of the legacies. And I think one of the dimensions in of history education in this country that is in need of further development is the ethical dimension to history education. It's been strong, for example, in Canada. And Peter Sations has written about this, how in Canada that ethical dimension has always been at the forefront of history education, less so here. I think. And I think a useful way to think about it is an extension of interpretations of history to give and to kind of focus students' thinking around, say, the difference between history and cultural memory, and to explore contemporary debates with students in the light of their historical knowledge of things like, you know, engaging them with debates about what should happen to the Colston statue, engaging them with debates about repatriation of the Benin bronzes. These kind of contemporary issues in relation to material culture and empire, because if we don't do it as history teachers, our students are going to go there by themselves. So in my view, we have no choice in this. We need to go with it. And the best place to be studying and engaging in dialogue and building knowledge and understanding of these things, I think, is the history classroom.